Hello again and welcome to another episode of Real Talk with RJ. If this is your first time listening, please don't forget to like and subscribe and follow so you know exactly when we release brand new episodes. Today, we're going to be talking about staying calm under stress. This episode is actually inspired by a recent event that happened to me. So I was at work last week, actually. And when I went to go upstairs, I took the elevator, which, you know, it works all the time. There's never a problem with the elevator that we have. And if there is, you know, it's never stalled on people. It just doesn't work. But I went in the elevator and, you know, the first floor is like 20 feet tall. And the second floor is about maybe another 10, 15 feet tall, possibly even 20 feet tall as well. Just it's a very high elevator shaft. So when I went up, you know, the elevator is functioning normal, and all of a sudden I felt a drop. Like I dropped like maybe 2-3 feet and it stopped. And it scared me. I'm a veteran. You know, I've been to war, I've done martial arts for most of my life. Like I'm a pretty tough dude. You know, when you go out to like theme parks and stuff like that, and then there's going to be a drop, you know it's coming, so it's scary, but not as scary, because it's a sensation that you expect. You're like, you know this is going to happen. All right, I'm done. All right, cool. But when you're in an elevator and the elevator just drops from under you, it's scary. I don't care how tough you are, that scares the crap out of you. It's like being in an airplane and you're up there having a good time flying, and you know the normal feeling of a little bit of turbulence. But when you feel the plane just drop 100 feet because the air just got really thin and the plane just descended 100 feet down, that, I don't care. You won't be an atheist after that. That will make anybody realize there's a God. Well, anyway, it scared the crap out of me. I was immensely petrified when that drop happened. And then I looked at the control board and noticed that neither the second floor light was still on, as though it was still going up. So I kind of waited. I was like, maybe it just got really, really slow and I could barely feel it. After waiting what I felt was a respectful amount of time, I was like, nope, it's not working. So I pushed the first floor button and it didn't move. The light stayed on. I tried the open door button, the closed door button. I tried every button on there. Nothing was doing anything. There's a little help button in there that can actually call emergency services, but I wanted to make sure that I had done everything before something like that happened. So I called my boss. Thank God I have my phone. If you ever go in an elevator, rule number one, have your phone with you just in case something happens. Some people don't get service in their phone, you know, or inside the elevator shaft. That is a risk, but a lot of times you could still call 911 if the need happens as well. Even without service, a lot of times they'll be able to bounce you off another satellite or something and actually still make your call happen. So anyway, I called my boss, and I was, you know, pretty calm as a tone. I was like, hey, I'm stuck in the elevator. And he's like, oh really? I'm like, yeah, it just stopped on me. He goes, oh wow, let me see what I can do. And he hung up with me and he called the building people that own the actual building. And you know, they, like, all of a sudden the guy started calling, like texting me, like my coworker started texting me and asking me like, hey, are you okay? Hey, is everything okay? Hey bro, like, are you all right over there? I heard you're stuck in the elevator. Are you really stuck? I'm like, yeah, I'm stuck. And they came over and started banging on doors like, hey, hi, how high are you? And when I heard their voices, I realized I was like really close to the second floor, somewhere there. Like, I don't know if I was halfway up to that floor, but I knew I was very high because their voices were very far down. So I yelled back, you know, I was good natured about it and everything. And they told me that, you know, the boss was actually calling somebody and trying to get somebody over to come fix the elevator and get me out of there. So, you know, I was cool. I was calm. And I was just sitting there thinking, like, man, I am so grateful I don't have to use the restroom. Rule number two, if you are going to get an elevator, use the restroom before you get in an elevator, because you don't know what's going to happen in that ride. I'm not saying don't go in elevators. Go in them. Use them. If you get stuck, you get stuck. You know, there's a risk. You know, anything can happen. And when it's your day to go, it's your day to go. That's all there is to it. You know, just use the restroom before you get on the elevator and bring your phone. Even if you're just going to go real quick to get something, no, get your phone, because you don't know if that real quick can turn into a couple hours. Use the restroom. Like, well, I have to go right now and use the restroom. Because if you're stuck in an elevator for 3 hours and you have to use the restroom, that is not a good experience, because you will have to find a corner and pop a squat and do what you got to do. And then when the rescuers come, they're going to smell that and they're going to know that it was you, because, you know, who are you going to blame it on? So just use the restroom, bring your phone. Now, when I was sitting up there, I made a YouTube video about this, about, you know, what was going through my mind and stuff like that. But what I want you to do is I want you to apply this technique with every situation where stress just starts to really get, you know, really get over, or like overwhelm you. First thing I realized is that, one, I did all I could do. I can't make that door open because I didn't have the tools. You know, I didn't have any tools with me when I was going out, so I couldn't pry that door open. Two, I had called my boss. My boss knew, and my boss is very reliable, so I knew he wasn't going to sit there and twiddle his thumbs. He called somebody. My coworkers knew I was there, and they were all working to try to get me out. One of my coworkers was sending me texts with updates in them, telling me, hey, you know, the building managers called these people and they're on their way. They said they should be here within 30 minutes or so. You know, they were giving me updates about what was going on to try to keep me calm. But the thing that that really got me was that I was already calm. Not trying to sound brave or anything like that. Just for some reason, you know, for me being in the military, I'm able to stay calm under high intense moments of pressure. Yeah, it's true. I could have died. You know, I didn't know what was going on with that elevator, but I knew I was high when I heard my coworkers' voices down there. I could have died. There could have been, you know, a malfunctioning hook up there or something like that, or spindle, whatever the case may be. But that elevator could have dropped from under me and I could have fallen 20 feet in an elevator that probably could have crushed me or broke my back or something. Anything could have happened. I didn't know what stopped it. I didn't know what the problem was, but it could have fallen right from under me. And I realized that I had done all that I could, you know, to rectify the situation. Now it's out of my hands. I just started thinking, like, I can sit here and panic and go crazy. That's not going to get the doors open faster. It's just going to make it stuffy in here, and it's probably going to make me pass out. And then I won't be able to react. At least if the elevator were to, you know, fall from under me, I would be lucid enough where I could stand up and then jump. Hopefully at the last minute before it crashes in the ground, and that would hopefully push off enough of the speed to where it won't kill me, break any parts of my body, or seriously injure me. But I would need to be standing up and be awake for that. So I stayed calm. I realized how serious the situation was, so I made a video for my fiance. That was essentially, the video was saying goodbye to her, telling her I love her and I'm really thankful for everything. And just in case something were to happen, you know, I just wanted to let you know I love you. And I said goodbye. That was very sombering. It wasn't an easy experience to do, but it was something that was a realistic possibility. And I needed to consider that, like, I had to think about her rather than myself. I didn't want to worry her, scare her, but the fact is that that was possible. And I need to consider that and take advantage of that opportunity to, while I'm still alive and, you know, still lucid and the elevator hasn't fallen yet, I need to make her a video just in case. So I made her the video. I texted her and let her know what was going on. And all of a sudden I'm getting texts from, you know, from one of my good friends. She started texting me, are you in an elevator? I'm like, I didn't even tell her. I just told my fiance and my mom and my coworkers, but, you know, I didn't want to worry anybody else. I was just trying to, you know, pass the time and stay calm. So I chose to start watching YouTube videos, and I chose just to kind of relax and just realize, like, I'm waiting until somebody who has the ability to get me out of here comes. I can't do anything. I am completely helpless in this situation. First, that's an important thing to realize. If you are completely helpless in a situation, relax. There's nothing you can do, and that's okay. Sometimes you'll find yourself in a situation where there's nothing you can do. But be sure that there's nothing you can do. Because if you're in an accident and you're like, oh, it's tough, you know, I'm stuck in this seatbelt, there's nothing I can do, there might still be something you can do. You might still be able to get that seatbelt off and get out of that car before it blows up on you. So don't be so quick to say there's nothing else I can do. But when you know, this is it, there's nothing I can do, I've done all I could, I'm just stuck here, relax. Close your eyes, breathe in through your nose, breathe out through your mouth. Relax. Accept the situation is out of your control, and that's okay. Just take in that moment and relax. Focus on your breathing. Get control of yourself, which is the only thing you can control. And just wait. Keep yourself busy. You can look through pictures on your phone. You can think about moments. Sometimes that might make you like think, oh God, please, if you save me from this, I promise I'll be a better husband. You're probably not going to be. If you got some prayer coming out like that, you're probably not going to be a better husband. You'll probably stay the same way because you're asking for change for the wrong reasons. Your motivations are selfish. They're selfish, in my opinion. You're asking God to spare your life, and that's what's going to cause you to be a better husband. No. God rarely works like that. But if you're asking him to spare your life so you can be better for others as well, so you can just take advantage of a second chance, that might come out because it's more of a selfless approach. But I sat there and I just continued to pause and stay calm and just wait. So in those situations, when they're out of your control, it's okay to just stay calm. Wait. Because there may be an opportunity that's about to show itself. And if you're panicking and going crazy, you won't see it. You'll miss it. But if you're calm and you're in control of yourself and you're lucid, you're aware of your surroundings and situations, when that happens, you will see it and you'll know what to do. So fast forward, the elevator maintenance individual came and the light went out. I tried pushing the button again on the light, thinking that the elevator may have been fixed. It wasn't, but I started feeling the elevator start moving slowly. Like it was just lowering, getting lower, and then it stopped. And then I heard the guy on the other side of the door say, you can push it open. So I pushed it open, the door open, and I was about a foot below the bottom of where the elevator sat. So it was just really interesting. And I stepped up and I was like, thank you, smiling. He's like, no problem, bro. And everyone was really happy to see me. Everyone was happy, like, hey, man, are you all right, man? Man, you were calm up there. Like, I would have been freaking out. I'm claustrophobic, man. I would have been this and this and this and this and this. My mom was even telling me that. She's claustrophobic, she would have been freaking out in that small space. But I started telling her, like, what good does that do? To freak out in a small space just makes the space feel smaller. But if you relax, close your eyes, and focus on your breathing, you see a darkness that doesn't feel small at all. This darkness kind of feels like space. The silence, comforting. You just get control of the situation and make the situation what you want it to be. Your single place of solitude. Relax, take control of your response to the situation. That's all you can control. After everything was said and done, the elevator maintenance gentleman, he said, you know what got you stuck? I said, what was it? He goes, lint. I'm like, what? He said, yeah, lint. there's a little QR code that the elevator reads to know where it is in the shaft. And for some reason, the QR code up toward the second floor where you were at, it couldn't read it. There was lint on it, so it was unable to read that QR code, and therefore, as a fail safe, it just froze. I was like, well, that's stupid. He's like, not really. It's actually pretty smart. It's a redundancy so that it doesn't malfunction on you. It just stops everything. So it doesn't malfunction, doesn't drop you, doesn't hurt, or anything like that. So I was never in danger of death. But I didn't know that until after I had gotten out of the elevator and found out what happened. But for all I knew, that was actually a real legitimate situation. So he cleaned the QR code and he said everything's good. And, you know, they got a new maintenance certificate. And, you know, we were as good as new. And I continued to use the elevator. Some people were like, you're going on the elevator for like 1 or 2 days after that. Like, you're going on the elevator again? I'm like, yeah, I'm not letting the elevator get the last laugh on me. It's like, if it's going to get stuck, I'm going to get stuck. But now I use the restroom before I go just to make sure. But yeah, any situation can happen when we least expect it. You can't control the situation, but you can control your response to it. And if a place feels small, close your eyes and imagine yourself in a wide open place. Focus on your breathing and stay calm. Don't leave that place until you have to. Sometimes being calm and in control of yourself is the difference between life and death. And sometimes it's the difference between peace and rage. Close your eyes, control your response to the situation, and go where you need to go to find peace, whether that's mentally or physically. You have the power to control your response. Thank you so much for spending time with Real Talk with RJ. Signing out.